chairs.
I couldn't find my chargers in my pocket, so I
can't find it.
Come on, Jim, you're so late.
Huh?
How come our agenda is so late?
Well, we got a bunch of stuff to do at lunch. Okay, you guys ready? Darlene, you ready?
Yes.
All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome. This is the May 11, 2018 meeting of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. It's 9:32 a.m. Thank you for being here. This morning, we have a statement by Dr. Sam Gaughan.
Okay, my pleasure. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first, before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision. It's entirely up to you. At any rate, any request must be made orally by the end of the meeting and followed up in writing within 10 days. If no request for a contested case is made, the board will make a decision and the department will treat the decision as final and proceed accordingly.
Thank you, Dr. Gaughan.
My pleasure.
All right, we have no minutes today, so we are going to be going through the move-up agenda. So those are the items we're trying to accommodate people who are off island and other members of the public. So first up on the move-up agenda is going to be item J2.
Morning, Chair Case, board members, Ed Underwood, administrator with the Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation. Item J2 is a request for a reduction in rent by the YMCA that's located at the South Fly Small Boat Harbor, Island of Hawaii. As the board knows, we came up with the criteria for establishing reductions in rent. We feel that the YMCA does meet that standard, and I would like to ask that the board set the rent at $40 per month or $480 per year.
Okay, thank you. Board members, any questions? No questions. Okay, any members of the public or is the YMCA want to add anything? You don't have to.
Just from here is all right, or?
Well, come on up. Introduce yourself for the record, please.
Thank you very much, board members. My name is David Giff. I'm a volunteer director of the aquatics program for the Island of Hawaii YMCA. We're considering, we're really pleased that you're considering this rent reduction because we are a complete nonprofit and we need to keep our monies close. We're just a growing program. We're actually, I have some documents to share with you, but sometimes the visual works wonders. Our goal is to work with the children of the Big Island and teach them the rudiments of sailing as well as the development of their responsibility and their well-being.
Great, thank you. Board members, any questions?
Thanks for taking the time to come in and be here to testify.
Thank you. No questions. Thank you very much. Any other public testimony on this?
May I just add a comment?
Mr. Chair? Yes.
I'm Bob Masuda, First Deputy DLNR. I just want to comment that Mr. Giff is a librarian at Hawaii Preparatory Academy, and took off today so he could come continue this work on behalf of the children of the island of Hawaii, my home island. And since I'm no longer with the YMCA, I have no conflict of interest, and I'd like to say that this is probably one of the better programs for young people in the state. This particular program serves all the different nonprofits on the island, including Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. They give the merit badges for the Girl Scouts, all that. So if there is a program, actually they should get no rent, but I leave that up to the board.
Cannot.
Thank you very much.
Cannot. This is the minimum. Okay, thank you very much. And no other public testimony? If not, is there a motion to approve J2?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the move-up agenda is D4.
morning, board members. Suji from Land Division for one of the divisions who worked on this project. This project for the Maui Regional Park started under prior administration and has finally gotten to the point of final closure, and we're asking the board for a final set aside to the County of Maui for park purposes. This project went back in from the commencement involved going back and acquiring land, and total project cost for improvements exceed $30 million of state funds. This project also, because of the rail line moving towards Honolulu, there was a big effort from, again, prior administrations, to Senator Inouye at the time, to get the federal restriction off of the Aloha Stadium parcel, and the federal government took the position that we'd have to find new parkland to place the restriction, which was limited for recreational park purposes. And so this parcel that we're doing up in Maui ended up being an ideal location, and the federal government approved, if you recall, placing the federal restriction, taking it off the Aloha Stadium and placing it at the Maui Park to keep it in into perpetuity for park purposes for the Maui County community. The project is ready to turn over to the County of Maui. As we note in the submittal, the state will retain the portion of that property that has and then will Cardi and his engineering division will work out a separate agreement on the water usage for park purposes with the county directly. Again, this is various divisions of DLNR worked on it. Everybody from State Parks, Russell Kamabe, Engineering, Cardi Chang, Ian from the Land Division. We have worked with the county and County Parks Director Kayla Wickensejo is here in the audience if you have any questions.
Thank you.
Ask this board approval.
Thank you. Okay, board members, questions?
I think it's a great project. I've been out there with Russell and Cardi and so forth. It's a beautiful job that's been done, and I think the county will do a great job managing it.
Other questions, comments? The county want to add anything?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good to see you guys. On behalf of Maui County, my name is Colin Wickensill, Director of Parks and Recreation. And thank you for the consideration for the EO. It's a very welcome gift from the state, and it's finally to its completion with some little minor things going in this calendar year for lighting and netting. But overall, as Mr. Gomes mentioned, it's a great, beautiful park. For those who haven't been able to see it, it's very similar to a little smaller scale, but kind of the Patsy Mink, where you have these complexes available for, we have a quad for softball and a quad for Little League baseball, as well as open spaces that can accommodate flag football, soccer, and just a variety of other activities at the park. I have here, though, my chief of recreation that can go over some of the activities that we also do there.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Board, for having us today. Just want to say thank you for the opportunity for this facility. It's been a blessing for us. On a given day, on a Saturday, if you drive in there, there's 7 flag football fields, 4 softball fields being utilized, baseball fields, probably about 800 to 900 kids, youth, during a Saturday, they're playing some kind of athletic event. Currently, we have 21 different organizations, youth organizations right now, using those facilities on a daily basis. So, can't thank you guys enough for this opportunity, and hope we can do more work like this in the future.
Thank you. Awesome. That's great.
I'd like to see down the road if some way, somehow, between A and B and the state or something, we can have to enter, rather from Maui Lani, but from the main drag, Kuilani would be great. But I brought that up the last time, and with Russell, we talked about it, and it was just a nightmare trying to do that. But maybe with A and B developing in that area, maybe somehow we can tie in that road to get in and get out.
Chair, so there are some there are plans. Once A and B's development comes in, it's already on the books that that area will open up. But we're piggybacking on the development of A and B.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Super cool. Great collaboration between the state and the county. Thank
awesome.
You.
Yes.
Okay. Any other testimony on this? All right. If not, is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Park. Okay, next we're going to have D5.
Item D5 is a final request also for issuance of easement for radio transmission tower, I believe, for Blow Up Hawaii. The principal of Blow Up Hawaii is a gentleman that has been here before. Only today he's here is private for-profit and not his non-profit entity. This is a request to place the radio tower on the site where Mr. Creasel also had taken on his non-profit role to develop into what is here today if you drive off from the airport, that homeless, family homeless shelter. Such a tremendous project for the area. County was asked, and county has no objection. If you recall, county, we set aside the land to the county. County then issued the nonprofit lease, Wayne's nonprofit entity. And here, this is a direct easement, which will be for compensation, fair market value to the deal. I don't have anything else to add. Mr. Greaser is here.
Okay, thank you. Questions, board members?
So this land that was given to the nonprofit.
Now it's state land. Okay. We hold the fee, we set aside to the county under executive order. Executive order with the county housing agency, they entered a lease, I believe, with Mr. Carisu's nonprofit entity.
But that was for the whole area.
For the parcel, I believe so.
The question I'm asking you this.
Does it include the easement area, is what you're asking?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so why isn't the profit dealing with the non-profit? Why do they come to us? Because we really don't have, we've given away the land already.
Well, we still hold the fee, yeah, and usually it's a fee holder. Because this is an easement, the tenancy for the county is really, executive order up until the time they decide they no longer need the executive order to return it. Yeah. So the whole idea of these executive orders rather than a fee transfer is that as soon as, at some point in time, if you ever no longer need the property for the intended purpose, that it come back to the inventory so we can hopefully find another use for the property. So usually it's been atypical that we issued an easement. Theoretically, could a tenancy like county do it? Yeah, except if they turn into EO, then what? If you're suggesting maybe not charge fair market value and have the thing go back to some other entity, I'm not sure. Then we wouldn't necessarily be the one issuing the easement. I can tell you that because I was going to just charge fair market value.
Barry, did you want to answer that?
Barry, I need to say something.
Well, it's not consistent with, the tower is not consistent with the EO.
Exactly. So because the, very true.
Land division. It's a private entity, yeah.
Because the purpose for the EO is for affordable housing, which has nothing to do with this easement. So technically, the city cannot issue an easement for this purpose over the land set aside for totally different public purpose. That's the reason why we have to come back to the board and get the okay from you folks.
Yeah, okay. I stand correctly behind the brain.
I know, I saw him come up, so
he asked me if I
knew
he'd
help you out.
You know I don't know nothing.
Okay, other questions? All right. Yes, please.
Thank you.
So,
can you please state your name?
My name is Dwayne Caruso. I'm the managing member of Blow Up LLC. So, first of all, I'd like to say, look, our radio tower is right across Nimitz Highway, and we'd be happy just staying with it. It's in the way of heart. So, the radio tower is being forced to move. So, in the case of the our homeless village and this radio tower, actually a radio tower came first. So we said, oh, why don't we put it here? And then when we looked at the property, so that came first. And we said, well, why don't we do the homeless village on all the areas outside of this, the radius of where this radio tower is going to be. So I want to make that clear too. So it was confusing. I remember when we talked about it, when we first came here and talked about this homeless village, because it seemed like it was one and the same, but it's really.
Yeah, thanks. I think most of us were on the board when this came up before. So. Okay, any questions? Chris.
While you're here, I want to congratulate you and thank you for getting this project done. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yes. You know, just great to see
some
affordable rental project being put on what was a vacant piece of state land, and it's in record time. And how's it going?
Oh, it's going really well. Our job now really is to work with the social service agencies to make sure that we build this sense of community, which was a foundation for starting this whole project to begin with. So we can kind of backtrack a little bit. It started from us thinking about building an ecosystem that's similar to what it was like growing up in a plantation town. So when you go there, we have like preschool, childcare center, convenience store, laundry facility, police rest station, but all with the intention that we want all the residents and the children to go mainstream. But thank you. I came here a number of times before. Thank you for your trust in us.
What is affordable? What is a fee that they would pay the rent?
Okay, so for a two-bedroom. And we have two bedrooms and one bedroom. For a two-bedroom, it's $900 a month. For a one-bedroom, it's $725 a month. But in order to, and for me, I thought that was high. So included in the $900 a month for a two-bedroom, it includes electricity, water, cable TV, and high-speed internet, and child care.
And child care would be consist of what ages?
From birth to when they can start going to kindergarten.
Okay. That's terrific.
And it's a self-sustaining project. The rents that are paid pays for things operationally. Well, right now there's a deficit which are nonprofit funds, but it's a project that stands on its own.
And what's your policy in case the rentee or rentor cannot come up with the monthly?
Then they're out.
They're out.
But there's a lot of, we don't manage the social service part, it's IHS that does it. So there's a lot of counseling. Every household needs to have at least one person that works. And we have jobs within walking distance, we have jobs on site.
Who covers the maintenance on the unit that they're renting?
Well, the interior, they do it. Yeah, outside is part of the common area, which is our nonprofit kind of takes care of. But you know, it kind of gives me goosebumps when I talk about this. You know, gradually we start seeing them being self-reliant and be responsible. So you can see them going out and weeding outside, and when we're still not done with landscaping. There's several families that come out and said, you know, hey, you guys are helping us, so we got to come and help ourselves. So they're out there helping. One story, this guy, architect, told me last week was that
they were out there several weeks ago. This lady asked him for, hey, can I borrow a pick and shovel? And he said, no, no, that's okay. We'll do this for you. She said, no, can I use a pick and shovel? I want my three children to be working on this property so they know what it's like. I want them to be self-reliant and responsible. So that's what happens. So that's part of the whole process that, yeah, Mr. Rorick, like plantation style, and Chris, Big Island too, as the South, so it was Big Island. So, I'm not a developer, I'm just a Big Island plantation boy.
I've heard that before.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any
Thank
other testimony on this? If not, is there a motion to approve the
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, next we are going to go to D7.
D7, I think, is the...
Yeah,
fireworks.
It's in the box.
Cal, you're right here. So, here we are on the annual renewal of the right of entry permits for a year, starting June 15, 2018 through June 14, 2019 at the Dukana Moki Beach site. And here today is Stephanie Pasquale of the Pyrotechnics. I think Cal tried
Sorry, to... Sorry, Russell, I forgot to announce that we are not hearing items D8 and D9 today. D8 and D9 were withdrawn. So if you're here for those, you can leave. Okay, thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
And then I think Cal tried to address in the board submittal the issue of the alternative firing site that when they looked at that issue, they felt that the current location that they're asking for is better and probably for safety purposes as well. Again, mentioned Cal is here if you guys have any questions. Stephanie's here if you have any questions.
Any questions, board members? No? Anything to add? Okay. Is there any testimony on this? If not, is there a motion?
I just want to say I disagreed with this, and I wanted a lower rent last time, and I still do, but I'm not interested in debating it.
Noted. Okay, any other comments? If not, is there a motion to approve D7?
Move to approve. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Cool. I'm running in the fastest meeting. Thank you guys.
You got a record time, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Last time.
Okay, next we're going to do M1 to M4.
Good morning, board. I'm Abby LaRue from Airports Division, here with Ethan Tomokio, and we're here for items M1 through 7. Items M1 through 4 touches Honolulu or Dillingham, the Daniel K. Inouye International Airport. Item M1 is a revocable permit being issued to All Nippon Airways for additional check-in counter space. Item M2 is a new airline coming into to Hawaii, MN Airlines, doing business as Sun Country, and they are asking the board's approval for terminal counter space for check-in. And then we have M3 and 4, which is aircraft tie-downs for individual tenants for aircraft parking.
Okay. All right, board members, any questions on M1 through 4? Okay, is there public testimony on M1 through 4? Yeah, please.
Sorry. Yeah, just a technical matter from Division of Forestry and Wildlife. So I'm David Smith, Administrator, Division of Forestry and Wildlife. And for M3, it's just kind of an informational thing. I'm not sure what the board wants to do with it, but we have had an issue with Mr. Mueller. an aircraft that he rented crashed in our Honolulu Forest Reserve, And we've been trying to get him to remove it, and he has not complied. And we've sent him a number of letters, spoke to him on the phone. He says he's not responsible because he didn't put it there. Unfortunately, the people that did put it there perished in the accident, and we feel that he, as the owner, is responsible for removing it. The department's been trying to get him to do that, and he hasn't complied. And so I just wanted to bring that up as an issue, and we're working.
Okay, questions then?
Can we deny his revocable permit?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion to deny his revocable permit.
Well, why don't we finish with public testimony?
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we being advised that we do have the ability to do that based on... based on this issue?
Yes.
What the AG said?
With his plan? Okay.
Stan.
Is the applicant here?
No.
How come?
The applicant, everyone has a choice to be here. The applicant
chose. Well, I know that, but this guy has his airplane went crashed, and he didn't want to take it out, you know, and we don't have any responsibility to help him take it out. But maybe we have to take it out because maybe it's a hazard, you know? So either he takes it out or we take it out, and because we're the trustees of the land, sooner or later we got to take it out. So we'd like to get this guy's cooperation. I'm not personally in favor of revoking his revocable permit. I want to defer it. I want him to come over here and explain what he's going to do, because we might get him to cooperate because he wants his tie down, and then we get it all solved. So, I don't know. How do you feel about that, James?
Well, we can defer it.
Yeah. And then we get him back here, have a little kooka.
And then we can find out the pulse of it, what he's going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's great.
So we're not here to hurt him,
yes,
but we're not here to do an imperfect job just because he's in the way. He wants something from us, and these things are discretionary because we're supposed to treat everybody the same, tie downs. But if this guy has other issues with us and he hasn't cooperated in the past, getting a tie down isn't something everybody gets just because they want it. Because these things are, there's only a finite number of these tie downs in the various airports. So we have to be a little bit cautious. And we're not here to be traffic cops, but we're here to be protectors of the land. And if you got his airplane there somewhere in one of our state land areas, we want to get it out of there.
Can I ask, is he currently using this tie down and the revocable permit is expired, or is this a new one?
It's going to be a new one.
A new one.
And when does the date start?
Upon approval.
But the reason I'm asking you this is to be determined by Director of Transportation at a later date.
Mr. Mueller is currently a tenant at the airport. He already has a team member with us. He's asking for additional space.
Additional space.
This is an additional contract.
So this one he doesn't have a plane at this location.
I believe he has the aircraft. It's in the T hangar right now, being stored there until this is approved.
Where's Mr. Smith today?
He is a personal.
Okay, just wondering. He's usually very prompt.
Okay, any other questions, board members? Any other public testimony on M1 through 4? Okay, board member, somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion on M3 to defer this. How long we want to defer it for? 30 days? What's fair?
Well, you can just defer it.
We'll defer it until Mr. Mueller comes back to want to put it back on, and we want to ask him to help us out to get that plane out of there, and we can maybe help him with this. Work together.
try to get it done and cooperate with each other. That's the plan.
Keely?
Okay. This is a secondary beast. So he already has one with a plane. So if we deny him...
He will not come back?
He can always come back after he talks with staff, because it can be issued again. It's not like he has it now. Mm-hmm. And I think we send a better message to him that, no, we're not going to go forward if you're going to be doing what you're doing.
I agree with that.
Can we, I have a question to ask for the lawyer. He has an existing tie down. Is it a revocable permit?
Yes, it is.
Can we revoke that one too? Or are we not, once we approve it, we don't have authority anymore to revoke it?
It depends on the terms of the actual revocable permit that he's got with the airport. I don't have a copy of the permit itself.
Well, the revocable permits are 30-day, month-to-month, so they can be revoked.
Okay, so, you know, if we have mean business, we revoke both of them if he doesn't come and help us. That takes care of it one crack. How's that, Gil?
Well, I still want him, if he has one already and he's conducting business off of that one.
Yeah, I'd rather, apparently he does.
Okay, so I'd like him to continue having business off that one because that shows income coming in that the state can go after at one point. If we just nix him from it, he could disappear and we're going to be stuck with an airplane.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Yep.
I thought you said his plane was at a T hangar.
It's a T hangar, it's not, yes.
But is a T hangar under RP?
Yes.
Well, it's not before us, so. I mean, we can't say anything about his other one.
Right.
We can't.
So you are aware that the DOT practice, which we've confirmed with the AGs, is we confirm these initially. And then they don't come back for renewals because the airports division handles renewals.
I'll withdraw my motion under these circumstances, what Keone and James said. And I'm for revoking it. Denying it. Yeah.
All right. So is there a motion to deny
M3?
Okay. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay, all in favor of the motion to deny?
Aye.
M3?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you. All right,
I just want to say, just so we are sending the right message to DOT, if this can be worked out, it's not like he could never apply again for the RP. He can come for another RP. And if they work it out next month, he can come back on, next month. But as it stands now, we're just denying it.
I understand.
Okay, and is there a motion to approve M1, 2, and 4?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you. All right, M5 through 7.
Yes, good morning, members. Ethan Tomohio, Neighbor Island Airport's property manager. Item number 5 is a revocable permit request from Southwest Airlines over at Kahului Airport for its airline operations. Item number 6 is a direct lease request for the development, construction, maintenance, and operation of a fixed base facility to repair general aviation aircraft. This is over at Upolu Airport. And then, something finally.
What's out there?
You don't have anything out there, right?
Something.
So,
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Have questions about that.
Okay, and then item number 7 is is for a sale of a land lease over at Lanai Airport for commercial and aeronautical purposes.
Okay.
Under public auction.
Okay. I have a question about Upolu.
Okay.
So the first of all, it's a direct lease.
Yes. It's a FBO lease.
It's a fixed base facility. So because the name of the
Island Auto Works.
Yeah, so
but he repairs aircraft.
He repairs airplanes?
Yeah. He does. He has
his kit. Intending to build a facility?
Yes.
Are there any buildings there now?
No. There's
nothing. What kind of facility is it going to build?
It's going to be on 4,000 square feet of unpaved land, and it's going to be a structure that will house at least one general aviation aircraft. The type is going to be, of course, a small aircraft. He doesn't repair.
House one aircraft? You mean for repairs?
Yeah, small general aviation aircraft.
Is he going to keep a plane there on a regular basis? Or why is this not at an airport that already has facilities?
It could be, but I think the airports and he discussed, well, first of all, he saw a potential to have business out there because Kona International, which is nearby, just cannot accommodate more business, more aircraft repair and airframe business. It's just
crowded.
Too crowded. We're going through a terminal modernization right now that's second to none.
Is it paved?
No, well, part of it is, but this area he's asking for is unpaved.
Is the runway?
So he's the runway is paved. Oh yeah, have to be.
How much? How many aircraft does it get daily?
Oh, I don't know that number, Chair Case.
I guess my
but not
my,
much.
My question is, here, basically, this is a really really rural airfield with no improvements on it at all.
Hardly.
And I wonder about a direct lease to somebody who's, you know, going to start an airplane repair business there for a facility that doesn't get much aircraft. I mean, it just seems kind of like a backdoor way of starting development at a very rural place that maybe you should keep your development at the developed airports.
But it satisfies a need, though.
But what... I mean, if aircraft don't normally land there, I mean, aren't they normally supposed to service aircraft that land at the airfield?
They can land there from Kona. They can fly to Kona. I mean, from Kona, fly to Upolu, because it's just probably a few miles away as a crow flies.
I have a question. You want to go first?
Just for information,
go ahead.
Bob Masura. Upolu Airfield is a completely paved field. It's next to the former Navy communication area, which no longer is needed because we have satellite. But the airfield is a really nicely paved airfield. It's set up so that while it's not manned, anyone coming in can buzz the little station there, like at night for emergency. You can buzz that if you know. And they should have the information, and the lights will go on, and stuff like that. So it's a pretty important emergency airfield. And I think if there's somebody who wants to improve it even further, the North Kohala area could probably, it would be more actively used if there were improvements. I just wanted to share that information.
So I will just say I disagree with that kind of direction because I think we got so much development going on that to sort of backdoor encourage development by giving somebody an auto plane repair business at a very little used runway that doesn't have any other facilities around, to me it's like, let's keep it as an emergency airfield rather than starting to develop it into a new airfield.
My interjection is not to promote either position. I just wanted to provide information on how it's currently used.
Yeah.
And it does serve an emergency purpose, and I personally have had to drive air ambulance people from Waimea Airport over the mountain because they didn't even know about this airport. Now that they know, they fly there directly.
Okay, I have a few questions. Okay, let me just finish. Thank you. Why is this a direct lease? In other words, if you're going to give somebody an opportunity to start up a business in auto repair at an otherwise unused airfield, why wouldn't you put that opportunity up to public auction?
Because to be consistent, we've been offering direct leases when the need is for a FBO, or we call it a fixed base facility. A fixed base facility is a facility in which you're doing services for others on the airport.
Yeah, but that doesn't.
And
I mean, I get that generally, but this is a totally new opportunity.
Mm-hmm. We've done it before, again, to be consistent with other airports, where again there was vacant land, and we offered fixed base facility leases on a direct basis, based on the FAA's, grant assurance rule, as well as just to be consistent, versus everything going out to public auction. Because on an FBO, what happens is the FAA grant assurance basically says that you cannot, you have to offer the same rates across the board. So if you put this, let's say we went out to auction on this chair case, then it would be subject to disparity of the rates. You could have someone bidding higher than the normal.
But you still haven't offered the opportunity to anyone else.
That's true, but because this is a FBO request, we've always tried, well, we've done it that way in the past, and we've just maintained the fact that we're following the grant assurance. I mean, we have an attorney opinion on that that basically supports that, that tells us if we're doing an FBO lease, don't you go out and do a public auction, because there's a risk of disparity in the rates. True, we want to try and encourage competition, but with that grant assurance rule.
So I'm uncomfortable that somebody's new plane repair facility is the equivalent of a fixed base facility at another airport. It just doesn't feel right to me, but I will.
It's
stop
a definition. Playing. It's a FAA definition of a, if you offer services to others, aeronautical, like this repair of an aircraft. That qualifies as an FBO. I mean, that's one of the qualifications. Flight schools, things like that.
Right. I'm not going
to. Okay.
That's cool.
I'm interested in this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is something new for Kohala.
Yes, it is.
Did you folks talk to people in Kohala at all about sort of revitalizing the Upolu Airport? It used to be a well-used airport at one time.
Mm-hmm.
When?
But it was military.
I don't think so.
No.
Maybe World War II.
I remember Plantation Days. Plantation Days, all of the crop planes landed over there.
I flew out of there once.
Okay, there's nothing there.
Not there now.
There was nothing there in 1970.
Well, I'm just saying, when we had Kohala Sugar, this airport was used a lot because they use it for the spray planes. So it's not like that if something came and went that it can't come back again. You know, the history of America is people come and go based on where there's opportunity. And if there's opportunity in North Kohala, maybe it'll come back. So I'm not necessarily in favor of it, but I am in favor of the idea of us exploring how to revitalize that area, especially because they use it as a medical emergency area. Can I please finish talking?
Yes.
Thank you. We have opportunities. When the wind is too strong at Kohala Airport, and we have the hospital over there, we got to fly somebody out. Sometimes we have to go fly them out from someplace else. Either you go into Hilo, or you go to Upolu, or you go to all the way to Kona. But if somebody is in a real bad state, and you just go to Upolu, it's much closer.
Yeah.
So, this issue came up when I was in the legislature, when we got a
search and rescue helicopter because we have these emergencies. Big Island. That's why they call it the Big Island, a big place. So down in places like Upolu Point is a place where it's an emergency facility, and we should take advantage of that. And maybe, here's another thing that occurs to me. We have given these direct leases. Mr. Smith always says, oh, we're going to encourage competition. That's why we do these direct leases. But I didn't hear you say that. So I want to know, is this going to encourage a competition like all these other direct leases we gave?
I believe your sense of encouraging competition is where you can get the best rate for the land.
I want people to come in. That's what I want. I want people to come in.
I can't
service that area.
I cannot guarantee that part about this. By we doing this, that there's going to be more FBOs or more activity at the airport. This right now, the airport has no activity, pretty much. It's zero. But
neither does Hilo Airport.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean.
But the FAA, is pretty clear on its stand on something like this. If the applicant qualifies for FBO and there's space available and he's willing to build that hangar, again, there's another grant assurance that says, how do we stop that?
I agree. If we have an attorney general's opinion that says we have to honor these things, then we have to honor it. That's all there is to it.
We do.
I don't think we have discretion to violate attorney general's opinion if this comes within the scope of that. So, is this come within the scope of that, counsel?
I don't know, and I don't know the opinion. It's probably from a DOT deputy.
Okay. This is a DOT. This is a DOT lawyer thing. We don't have a DOT lawyer here right now, but you're telling me that that's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I mean, everything should go out to auction.
That has great weight for me. So what do you have to say, Bob? You have your hand up.
I just wanted to point out that both the chair and yourself have a very important point that needs to be brought forth with this particular thing. I think this level of development, if you want to call it that, or construction, should require a little bit more informed decision making and all that. So I don't think the amount of information that's being provided for this kind of decision is appropriate at this point. So I would urge that the board consider what the concerns that were brought forth. This is a rural area. I am a resident of the Kohala area. I would love to see an emergency capability like we have now be preserved. But at the same time, if you're going to expand that, I think the community needs to be more fully informed and consulted. And therefore, I would urge that maybe our friends over at DOT go back, talk story a little bit more, and come back with a more full presentation that can answer the questions and concerns that both you and the chair have.
Thank you. Jimmy wanted to go next, and then
Chris. So I recommend you defer this.
Jimmy, and then Chris, and then Keone.
One thing I have that's I see. First of all, I know that an air ambulance is stationed in Waimea because they fly from Waimea to Maui. Mm-hmm. And we had an issue, and then they said, we just landed Waimea, we had to turn around and come back. And he said, why Waimea? He says, that's our station, that's our base. So if you're saying emergency, they're in Waimea already. Mm-hmm. The concern I have is it's an unpaved parcel or where he wants to put his facility. Mm-hmm. What are we doing with the contaminants, fuel, oil, and he does refueling. What are we have nothing on the ground, no protection that will go filter down through the.
And we do have a very sacred area.
Correct.
Adjacent.
Correct.
So Mo'okini Heiau.
That's correct. The Heiau is right next door.
He's all right
in the vicinity.
And that's why I'm urging deferral, come back with a more complete plan that considers impact on those areas also. But that's our Kuleana.
Yep.
Well, I think as part of his development, he'll have to go through that approval process. I mean, he has to vet that through our section so that that way those issues are accommodated, fueling,
just
or
whatever. But there's no plan.
But he doesn't intend to fuel.
Is there a plan in place for the airport that has been vetted with the community?
The airport master plan that's approved already has designated this area for this type of use.
And was that vetted with the community?
Approved by who?
FAA and the airport director of transportation.
Was there a community process with that master plan?
I don't know. I don't know what the community process is with our master plans, whether or not they are.
I think you should defer this and come back when there's more information.
Okay, Chris and then Kieran.
So, Bob, just you said something I had just a side question about. Who is it that turns on the lights?
There's a sound activated thing. Oh. So when the airplane flies over. So okay. If you're
you buzz it, part, and then the lights go on.
The AO, the people in the AO.
You buzz it, the lights go on.
Well, you mean if I go down there some night and I put a loudspeaker, I can make the lights go on?
Just clap your hands.
Well, I think that, I think what you're referring to, there's no overhead lights except just by the restroom area. But the red lights are activated. They're on. They're on. And they're all... They have navigational aids that already are.
They're on.
Those
are. So it's not clap on, clap off.
No. It's not that crude. It's not that crude.
I thought that Kupolu Airport, if you wanted to spend the night sleeping there on a dare, you would probably be very safe.
From what?
Okay, the FBO, we have been approving. I went through this a number of times.
And it's also part of my write-up.
Does this apply, though? All the other airports I know have, like, federal money in them.
Yes.
Does it still apply to Upolu? I don't know. Does Upolu have... Is it only to the airports that we
actually... I believe
it applies to all airports?
The funds applies to all airports, provided that it's the airports that has to designate the need. So if there's a need at Upolu to develop more, then where the attention goes, the energy flows. So that's where it'll go.
But again, what you're talking about is people intentionally going there to get their plane repaired. Rather than the service needing to be there to service existing aircraft. Where everywhere else, you need somebody to come, replace a bolt that came off of something before you can take your next flight. This is, I want to, do an overhaul on my engine. I'm going to fly to Upolu because there's nobody there and this guy can repair it. I think it's a different situation.
Again, we go back to our airport master plan and the airport layout plan, which right now that's what we use as our Bible. We have not, we don't, outside of those jurisdictions, we usually deny, because you want to put a CARFAS, no, you cannot. But this is designated for this. And although we could argue that the airport master plan is old, it could be stale dated, I don't know.
How old is it?
I think it
goes... Younger than me.
I know it's part of my write-up. I think it's 19... Sorry, wait, I can pull that out right away.
18,
No. It's because it's part of it. It was when the environmental was done, too.
1999.
Oh, okay.
So,
not that.
But Upolu Airport, how frequent, versus Kona, it's done every 2 years or so,
So, from a development standpoint, I think the prospect of a airplane occasionally flying into Upolu, I think, I would think that when you work on an airplane, it takes a few days.
It does.
And he's only got space for one plane.
Right.
I don't think that's a huge problem, just having people fly in.
But what I think is the issue here is this is the first thing. And it doesn't seem to have been done. It's like... if you have a situation where the first development is what changes the character of a place. Mm. After that, it's incremental. Mm. So that's my concern here, that this has not really been vetted publicly.
I have to agree with you, because when I'm Upulu, and you're going to put $140,000, there's got to be something else besides that, and you're not even going to put nothing on the ground.
This is another question I have. Mm-hmm. Do you need some kind of specialty license to be a mechanic, to work on airplanes?
Yes.
Does this company have it?
No.
Where I'm going with this is a couple of years, it's basically, you go in there and he's working on six cars,
right.
And there's no airplane there.
Right.
What's the cost to transport the guys to the airport?
Then I'm concerned. Actually, it's not a bad place. It's for doing a light industrial. It's away from everybody in Kohala.
Well, can I just say, it is next to a very special heiau. So it's just because there's nobody else there doesn't mean it's not a very special place.
This gentleman I know right now operates at Kona. Yes. And he is a licensed FAA 145 repair station.
Okay, so it's legit.
Yeah.
As far as
I mean, he's not a fluke.
Is it okay with DOT if he repairs cars and repairs airplanes?
No, it only has no cars, aircraft. But his company is called Island Auto Works. But he does not repair cars on the airplane. He would not be allowed to do that.
That's all I have. But, if the sentiment is to defer, I'm fine with deferring. I don't know.
You want evidence of community. Disagreement, like something like maybe like the telescope kind of situation where mayhem may happen.
A public meeting.
Have a public meeting. Let's find out. They might say, "Oh yeah, we want that." The people who live around there are not paupers. This is a very wealthy area, gated communities, all over the place, right around here. Yeah, but get hey y'all. But every place get hey y'all.
So if the community supports it, would you feel better about it? Would you all feel better about it if the community supports it or no? Well, you don't know yet.
Put it this way. I think that we got to find out what the community has to say.
Okay.
Because the Kohala community is a very active community. We get people from all over the world there. They settled over there because it's a nice place. We don't want to rough them up. So you have a public meeting, you go have a library or someplace at Kohala, grab a meeting, and maybe Suzanne can go there, she can go listen, and maybe Bob can go, you folks go listen, and let's find out.
Can I just add to that?
No, Stan and I will go.
Can I just add to that, though? There are a lot of wealthy people in Kohala. There are also a lot of people who are not wealthy who care about the cultural of the place.
Thank you.
That is correct.
Can I make a suggestion?
I agree with that.
This is all along the lines of the meeting. It doesn't really bother me that a few planes are going to come in. The people are very touchy in Kohala. Yeah. What I would suggest, rather than us hold our own meeting, there is something called the Kohala Community Development Plan Steering Committee. Development Plan Steering Committee, which is official county committee that looks at land use development in Kohala. And you could contact them through the county planning department, and this could be put on their agenda, and it's something that they can discuss and give a sense to. Tends to be quite a protective group.
Like a first step, maybe?
Because it's to hold
as a venue for, do they have sunshine meetings?
They have a sunshine meeting. It's on an agenda.
Okay.
Rather than you
holding your own.
It's a bigger item, you guys don't do this all the time anyway. Actually have a public meeting and publicize it and run. Okay, this is what this thing is for. They will not have any formal. They're just advisory. They don't have any yes or no to it. But as I think this would be a good faith means of getting a public sentiment from a group that's set up to hear this kind of thing. And as I say, it's an official, you know, county advisory body.
Okay. Good idea.
If I might, Madam Chair, the thing that makes me uncomfortable about when you say, well, the FAA has, you know, I'm sorry I don't have the same religion that the FAA promotes, but I don't consider FAA in this case the wherewithal do it all, say it all. I think there is a state process that this board has responsibility
sure.
for.
Sure.
And this board is indicating that the information being presented doesn't really fit the bill. And so it seems to me like what Chris is suggesting is one vehicle for community involvement, and we have a state kind of process, which is what this board is, that kind of meets at least the state's expectation of community inclusion in what happens in a particular community.
I have a
just because the FAA says they did
I have a question about
you know,
this.
I don't buy it.
Bob,
can I ask my question first?
Go ahead. Yeah,
I think
go
so.
First.
Go ahead.
4,000 square foot building. What's it going to cost them to put it up?
140,000.
Okay.
What's his business plan as far as how many planes he's going to have to bring in there monthly?
I don't have that.
You have
right,
his business plan?
But I do have it, yes.
Okay. So that would be something for me that the board should look at.
Okay, sure.
The other thing, what is he paying in Kona now? So is this move out of Kona just a way to lower his rent because the rent is dirt cheap?
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Thirdly, I gotta agree with Chair in that, yeah, we put one building, but I've already seen property that we put one building, and it's okay to put two, and it's okay to put eight. That's happened already. Now, in order to find out his business plan, and the reason I asked about planes, because I want to know how many people coming in and out of it, because those planes don't exist today. And is it going to be a point that people may fly up their plane and anchor it there while he's working on another plane? So all of a sudden, you got eight planes.
Got it.
You're taking something that is that everything that I've heard talking about the safety, about that's all great, but that is exists now. Adding a commercial entity brings up all kind of new can of worms. And so, yeah, so when I look at this, I mean, you know, it's just like his building pad. It's just like James asked.
Got it.
I mean, yeah, in your mind, that may be the right way to do it, but we're signing off on something that we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm through. Thank you.
Stan.
Don't we have a transportation commission or board in Hawaii? State Transportation Board?
A board.
Yeah. Seems to me we have an advisory board or something. I remember when we were trying to fill slots on something like that. Because they're advisory board because they got to look at issues related to harbor expansion, airport expansion. All kinds of issues, and so they have, there's some kind of an agency that helps Department of Transportation with this kind of issue.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? If you know.
Is that State Transportation Planning? I'm not sure.
There's a bunch of transportation planning boards, but I'm not aware of something specifically for the airports. This was a legislation to create an airport authority. That's a little, but that's different. There's Oahu, you know, OMPO, which is certain. You know, there's lots of ones. There's lots of boards that are connected, advisory boards connected, particularly
right.
with traffic. You know, where new highways are going to be built.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things, but I'm not aware of something.
We just have our internal
I just remember for harbors, Hilo Harbor, one of my friends was on the board, advisory board, for the expansion of Hilo Harbor, and it was a Department of Transportation advisory board.
Sometimes those are ad hoc, and that might be a good thing to do, is to form an ad hoc committee that has representatives of different community groups, you know, people who are in favor of developing the area, people who are in favor of preserving the area, and that might be something that would be useful here. Okay, other questions?
How close is it to Waukini?
It's, let me look it up.
You mean Upolu?
A couple miles down to Waukini.
Okay.
It's not right next door.
No, it's...
It's a ways away, but not too far.
If you're asking me to bet, I would say 2.5 miles.
Okay, I will bet you. Let me see.
From where the road comes down, not to the west.
He's taking it to the closest end of the runway.
I would say as a crow flies, a Hawaiian crow.
Yeah, a Hawaiian crow.
That's farther.
Wait. Okay. If you drive around, it's 5.4 miles.
But it looks like much less than that straight line.
That's way farther.
Okay.
What's the
It looks like about a mile.
From Waukini to the end of the runway.
Yeah.
To the end of the runway. Okay. Okay. But the end of the runway is like half a mile from the intersection.
Okay, so a mile and a half.
Okay, mile and a half.
Okay. All right. Any other public testimony?
Is that close enough to get a, like a ship the opinion?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. It may have already been in considered in the cultural assessment for the in whatever environmental review.
In 1999, I'm not sure.
Yeah, 1999.
Maybe.
Yeah, they didn't do this.
But anyway, that is part of the issue.
It was just a FEA and a Fonzie.
Okay. All right.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
I make a motion that we defer this.
M5. M6.
I'll second that.
And before it comes back, we should address the chair's concern, James's concern, Keone's concern, my concern, everybody who spoke up, Keone's concern. And to sum it up, we should find out, number one, what's this gentleman's plan, right?
Yes.
His business plan, or is he, we need to know that he's not going to pollute the area. He has to have, the plan has to include how he's going to not get all kind of toxic stuff in the ground or in the air, because there are residences in along the Konipuli Highway that goes right by this place, and that's a state highway, I believe. After Representative Konipuli, who was in the legislature with us, so also find out whether or not this is going to be just for airplanes, and is it airplanes that are flying in and out of Kona Airport and Kohala Airport, Medvac, we want to know about that, and we want to have...
Basically, what's the anticipated increase in traffic?
Yeah, increase in air traffic, right, and also we want to get a flavor for what the community thinks, but I agree that with Bob that we should have, this should be a state investigation, not county. This is a state investigation. It comes under Department of Transportation and the Land Board. This is our investigation. If we want to get some information from the county, if they have a voice, we'll like to hear their representative, but I'm a little bit apprehensive to have every time we have an issue that we pass it off to the county, because sometimes the county passes things off to us. So I don't think that that's a good model, that we just pass it off to some other agency, because they all get different motives. You know, there's they are as diverse as this board is. So, and then you take a close look at that Attorney General's opinion, and I would suggest you send that Attorney General's opinion to us so you can read it. If you can email it to us, I would like to read that, and I'd like to read it carefully. And if you have a lawyer who has taken a look at this issue relating to Upolu Point or this Upolu Airport, that he has formed an opinion how that Attorney General's opinion fits on this, we'd like to see that. And if he hasn't done it, you tell him, do it, or he or she, please weigh in on this issue. What's our obligation under these circumstances? Because we do not want to violate an Attorney General's opinion. That's not something that's a good idea, because then if there's a suja, then we're in a bad position, because it's right on the record that we broke the Attorney General's opinion. And whether it's the Third Circuit or the Federal District Court, or it's the First Circuit, the judge is going to take a very dim view of our conduct if we're breaching some law that we're supposed to uphold, especially if we have a constitutional duty as trustees to do that. So we need to know that. So those are the things that I'd like to have considered.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I already seconded.
All right, any further discussion?
Can I have a question? Are you opposed to them sending it to the county CDP steering committee? It's a way for them to basically write a letter to a group that's set up to do comments like this, rather than they have to hold their own kind of public meeting.
Well, I'm not opposed to getting their input. Mm. I don't want them to make the decision.
Oh no, they're strictly advisory.
If they want to have a group discussion and send us a letter, whether they're up, down, or sideways, or they want more information, I'm okay with that. I just don't want them making a decision, because this is our responsibility, it's not theirs.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Yeah. And they don't even make actual decisions for county matters either. They're strictly advisory, but okay. This would be the board's final decision.
Yeah.
It's just a group that is set up to provide community input on development.
If they want to have their own review of this and send us a letter, I think that that's a positive thing. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
So there's no objection to using that Kohala Community Development
as a way to get public input. Yeah.
They can get some public input. They can send us a letter. But you folks are going to have to make a recommendation to us.
Well, I guess I wouldn't be looking for their recommendation, but for them as a forum to have that public discussion.
Sure. Right. I'm not opposed to that.
Right.
Like a town meeting almost?
Yeah. Or when they have their meetings, they are publicly sunshine meetings, and so that gives members of the community an opportunity to testify.
And I think that when they have that meeting, it's a good idea that you go.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we have a motion seconded on D.
I have one more bit of of discussion on this, and that is Mr. Tomokiyo,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
You probably didn't anticipate this reaction from the board.
No.
And it doesn't sound like you've had a lot of experience doing the follow-up that we're asking for.
I don't.
So, Chair or and
something
Bob,
needs documented.
Chair and Deputy Chair, if you have feedback on who in our staff he can work with in order to make sure these things get done more easily and smoothly, do you have any guidance?
I think the guidance should come from someone who's lived in the area that seems to be knowledgeable of the area, to my left.
Yeah, you can work with Bob, and Bob will work with Shifty also.
Thank you, Kim.
Bob is Bob's a good contact.
I mean, I didn't want to ask that you do that.
I see Bob's eyes going back and forth like this.
Yeah, so if you will, since he concurs,
you can work with. Yeah, that'll be helpful, because I don't have that background.
You can do
okay.
That,
yes, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, now M5 and M7. Anybody have any questions on M5 and M7? any public testimony? If not, is there a motion to approve M5 and M7?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
See, those are easy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Sorry to beat you up here.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. How about if we take a short break? We have a 5-minute break.
A long time ago.
You did?
Yeah. I was there. Some of my clients, Hawaiians, live right over there. Big land. They must have 200 people fighting each other. They're all relatives.
So I went there for a shark hunt.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we flew over there because my uncle flew small planes. The whole family flew over there for the day. Landed at Hupolu. They cut up the cow.
So
they have a little bully bike. He come in, the shark come in from the ocean. He go in, the guy rub him down, roll him over, clean him up, get the barnacles and stuff off. The shark feed him right there. So then they go for a coolie and Opelu.
That's what they do in Lahaina.
And they bang on the side of the boat.
Right.
The shark goes and hustles him into the net.
My in-laws, that's what they do.
It's all part of the family.
That's what they did.
That and the barracuda. That and the barracuda. Well, that part I never hear.
But exactly what you said about the barracuda.
Yeah. Yeah, you stop the boat and they go get him.
Hey, Julia, how are you? We got all over the place.
Attorney-client privilege, and so you might just have to kind of avoid that's privilege.